to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Again, my name is Zachary Smith. I am beyond grateful and excited and overjoyed to be with you here again, to come into your homes through your devices to talk about NXT this week. I say it every week, because it's true every week, that I cannot thank you enough for giving me this opportunity, as well as Matt and everybody at the WWE Podcast. I'm a guy that's just a wrestling fan for some time who is getting to live his dream. And hopefully I've been doing a good job here for you. Again, if you have any feedback, comments, questions, any questions that you want to be on the show or anything you think could be added, I am on Twitter at ZachNXT, ZachNXT. I'd love to hear from you. Now, for this May 6th edition of NXT, we have a pretty packed show in terms of what we got, and so that's going to be very interesting to review here for you. Some matches delivered, some matches, although this was set up kind of like a takeover with a couple title matches, didn't necessarily feel that way for a lot of them. So I'm excited to talk about that with you as well. Now, again, as you know, here on the NXT Podcast, before we dive into the show, we talk about the news in wrestling. And the big one this week was about Roman Reigns and the fact that he has not been mentioned on television since he made the decision to not perform, given the circumstances right now. And they showed a highlight of Seth Rollins cashing in his Money at the Bank at WrestleMania and winning the title. And as you remember, it was cashed in during a Brock Lesnar-Roman Reigns match, which was actually a very, very good match as it was happening. The crowd wasn't necessarily behind it, but that was through no fault of Lesnar and Reigns. But they edited it in such a way that it looks like Seth pinned Brock, which is not what happened. He pinned Roman, and he was cut out of that video package. And it got me to thinking. So Roman Reigns made the decision that he's not going to be performing under these conditions. And I want to talk about his reasons for that, as well as what I believe WWE's reasoning is for cutting him out. Now, just to give you some background on why I have any reason to be speaking about this, not only did I grow up in nursing homes, as my mother was a nursing home professional, a nurse, director of nursing, administrator, regional vice president, I spent a lot of time in nursing homes and around healthcare professionals. More so, my wife, my wonderful wife, is a current medical social worker and team lead and has been a healthcare worker for about 13 years or so. And my wife is a beyond wonderful woman who I can never thank enough for everything she did to me, not only by coming into my life, but making me a better person. And I would say that whether she was going to hear it or not, but she's beyond wonderful, and I can't thank her enough and love her very much. But for this, I got some of her expertise as well. You know, as you may or may not know, Roman Reigns has leukemia, and he's had some issues with it coming back, and currently it is in remission, and I believe he is on an oral regiment to kind of treat that and prevent it from coming back. Now, because he has leukemia, because he is receiving treatment, he's immunocompromised, which means anything like this, especially with this particular COVID-19 that's going on, he's much, 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 much more likely to get it. And wrestling is the contact sport of all contact sports. There is no social distancing in that ring. And because he is immunocompromised and he has a family, he has a wife and a kid, and I believe another kid on the way, he made the decision for his family and for himself and for his health to not come back until this is over. Because if somebody there has the diagnosis, he is probably going to get it. Now, WWE is doing testing for their performers, which is absolutely fantastic. However, as you know, with this particular disease, you can be asymptomatic and not show anything and still be a carrier. And if Roman is unfortunate enough to be in the ring with somebody who is a carrier, he's very, 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 very likely to get it. And because of that, he made the correct decision to step away. And I feel that just about all of the wrestling community stood behind him in that, and that was the right decision. Now, because he made that decision, WWE has not mentioned him on television. And that absolutely did not bother me at all. Simply for the fact that if you have somebody that's not on TV and is not going to be on TV for the foreseeable future, you're probably not going to mention him on television. Now, we'll ignore the fact that when he actually had to step away because of leukemia was back, they mentioned him plenty on television, not knowing when he was going to be back. But I digress. And if you were to listen to some of the WWE higher-ups, I imagine, not to put words in their mouth, but I would imagine what they would say is they're not mentioning him for that reason. But they also cut him out of that video package. And I think I know why. And this hit me when I was listening to JR's book, Under the Black Hat, which I would highly recommend you read or listen to. It's a fantastic book by JR. It goes over some of his history and biggest moments as the voice of the WWE. And it goes into some of his personal relationships, not only with his wife, who unfortunately and tragically passed away, but his feelings and him almost coming to the breaking point in wrestling, him learning about his life, and most importantly, his relationship with Vince McMahon, the owner and chairman of World Wrestling Entertainment. And the story that stuck out to me and made me think of this is when Jim Ross, and I forget the year, I apologize, but this is at a point where he's no longer one of Vince's right-hand men. He's still working, but I believe he wasn't head of talent relations anymore. And he made the decision for him, his family, to get a house in Oklahoma, where he is from. If you've ever listened to JR talk on anything, you know he's a big Oklahoma guy. He's a big Sooner guy. He's been at games. But he made the decision to move to Oklahoma to be with his family more and spend more time with his kids and, I believe, grandkids. And he says in the book, without quoting it directly, that he talked to Vince about it a few times. And the last time he talked to him about it, he basically said, "Vince, are you sure that you're okay with this? With my role and what you have me doing, I can absolutely do this and perform all my duties from Oklahoma, but I just want to make sure." And Vince cuts him off and says, "I said it was fine, and I don't want to talk about it anymore." And JR took that and moved on. And He says that he was talking to, I believe it was Kevin Dunn at his home, as Kevin Dunn was also a football fan, had been to his house, his kids had been to JR's house, and they're talking outside, and it comes up and Kevin Dunn says that Vince feels like you're abandoning him. And JR says, I'm not abandoning him, I'm just getting a house in Oklahoma. And he says, yeah, but, you know, once you're in with Vince, he doesn't like for people to abandon him. And he feels hurt, and he just didn't want to say that to you. And that struck me, because at this point, JR had already been messed with a lot on television, and as you know, they got their kicks out of humiliating JR and putting him in uncomfortable positions instead of just letting him be the voice of WWE, which is what he should have been. And that really stuck out to me, that idea of Vince McMahon feeling like people are abandoning him, when that's simply not true. And it strikes me that if you are Roman Reigns and you're the guy in Vince McMahon's eyes for WWE, and regardless of what you feel personally about Roman, it's indisputable that with all the WrestleMania matches and main events and his big push, that Vince McMahon saw him as his Hulk Hogan, as his John Cena, as his Stone Cold Rock. He saw him as the guy. And if you're Vince McMahon, now this person who you've made the guy and have plans for decides that he's stepping away. And putting yourself in Vince McMahon's head, you feel like he's abandoning you. And so a man that is simply making the best decision that he can for himself and his family is now being punished. That video clip of Rollins cashing in was very short, but there was no reason to make it look like he won the title from Brock. You could have easily put in that it was Roman, except for the fact that Vince McMahon was hurt, and when Vince McMahon is hurt, he lashes out. He'll lash out anyway if everything's going great, but if he feels like you're leaving him or that you're hurting him, his response is to hurt you back. And for the life of me, I cannot understand why you would approach it like that, and why you would not have him mentioned, and why you would cut him out of things. And I would be willing to bet you that anything else involving Roman that they can cut around, they will. And that's simply not good business. It's very transparent. Everyone that saw it immediately called it. And it's just so funny to me that this man who has grown up in one of the toughest businesses that you can, and has fought with other promoters to take over the wrestling world, and has been one of the voices of WWE in their early days, and has been one of the best heels that wrestling has ever seen, and has gotten in the ring, is so fragile with his ego and his emotions that he feels somebody stepping back because they don't want to risk their life and the lives of his wife and children is abandoning you or hurting you, or that's something to be punished. There were reports that somebody made an anonymous tip in WWE saying, they're saying that people don't have to come to work, but you definitely have to come to work. And I took that comment with a grain of salt, because as you are well aware, there's been a lot of people who aren't on the show. And so they've made opportunities for other stars. Zelina Vega stands out. Liv Morgan stands out. Other people stand out. But it is very interesting that while you are not going to be directly punished for stepping away or making the decision that you're not coming in, you're certainly not looked at exactly the same, are you? People who have stepped away are an afterthought, and again, I understand that because they're not going to be on television. But to take somebody that was in one of your biggest moments in terms of WWE in that cash-in and cut around him is just further evidence that Vince McMahon is a genius in wrestling, and I mean that sincerely. He is a genius with what he did to promoters, and frankly, if Vince McMahon hadn't done it, somebody else would have. Promoters are notorious in those days for backstabbing each other and trying to get one over on each other. So I don't necessarily fault him for doing what he did. But with all of that, to be so fragile that you feel like you have to give him a little bit of a jab by cutting him out is just remarkable to me. And this man who is 70 plus, I believe, to still react like that, to me shows a person that is not willing to grow and is not willing to accept that sometimes adults have to make decisions that you're not going to like, but you have to respect. And this is the epitome of, I'm going to accept it, but I'm not going to respect it. Hopefully once Roman comes back, everything is kosher. I'm sure it will be. It's Roman Reigns. But just be on the lookout as we're looking at clips and things like this with Roman involved. And if this becomes a pattern, that's going to be very interesting. But enough from me. Enough from news me. It's time for NXT me, you know? We're going to talk about the May 6th edition of NXT. A very interesting show that we had this week. And we started off with promo video for Io Shirai, Charlotte Flair. As you know, they're going to be facing off with Io Shirai challenging Charlotte for the NXT women's title that Charlotte won at WrestleMania. And as you know, as a fan of this podcast, big fan of Charlotte winning the title. So during that promo, Shirai says, "The castle where the beautiful queen lives, I will destroy it." Which is just great. Loved it. And we're also going to have Adam Cole versus the Velveteen Dream for the NXT title. And Karrion Kross's debut. As you know, he's Killer Kross with Scarlett. They've renamed him Karrion Kross and renamed Scarlett Scarlett instead of Scarlett Bordeaux. Feels weird that we're rebranding him. We've seen a lot of people come through and use their same name. And frankly, Killer Kross is just a better name than Karrion Kross. I'm not sure how they came to Karrion for his first name. It's not as bad as the Viking Experience, so I'm not necessarily mad at it. It just struck me as odd. And we have Beth Phoenix and Mauro Ranallo calling the show again this week, and I believe they're actually doing it from home, which is very good. They still, it's indistinguishable from them calling it in the arena, and it's safer. It keeps them away from everybody, and it also, as you're having people in the building, you want to keep it down to just the people that you need. So whether that's just the wrestlers, cameramen, all your technical guys, Triple H, maybe Shawn Michaels, Tom Phillips was there, you want to cut down the people that you need to have in the building as much as possible. And this is a great way to do it. And going forward, that's also a way for people who, if they can't make the show for whatever reason, they can still call it. So I hope that going forward, even after this is over, they're able to implement that more. Because you don't need the cutaways that they do to the announcers. I didn't feel the loss of that in any way, shape, or form. But it should be good going forward. And we're starting strong. It's Johnny Gargano out first. And he has his new theme music as he's a heel now. It's a great theme. His face theme probably would have still worked, but I feel like this theme is more fitting for his heel persona. I definitely prefer his face themes. That's what I'm used to, and it fits him very well. But this heel theme really fits him well, and as long as he is a heel, I'm very glad that he got this new theme, and that he's, it really gives him a different feel as he walks down to the ring, and that's excellent. And next we have Dominik Dijakovic coming out. And Dominik Dijakovic has been kind of trolling and going after Gargano on Twitter for some time now. And just as an aside, he's a great Twitter follow, just in general. He's a real sarcastic jerk, and it's a great follow. Every time I see a tweet from him, I smile. And I was thinking, and I was just thinking that I hope Dijakovic is up kind of near the main event soon, because he has all the tools that you need for that. He failed in his quest for the North American Championship, but going forward, hopefully he'll be in the NXT title picture coming up here pretty soon, but we'll see. And heel Gargano is so great. And I again, I've mentioned this before, but I never thought that he would make a great heel. I always thought of him as a Ricky Steamboat type of guy that would just be a babyface his whole career because he's so great at it. But him as a heel is like so beyond what I thought it could be. And I love it. He's taken to it immediately and incredibly. And it really just shows a different side of him and gives him something else to do character-wise that's already feels more fleshed out than him as a babyface. Not in terms of matches or build-ups, but just promos. It gives him more to do. And so we have a very, very good match, and Dijakovic is kind of taking control, and Candice LeRae comes out. And Candice is also a fantastic heel that I didn't ever see her as, but she's great as well. And it kind of allows her coming out, Gargano, to take advantage and due to that distraction and kind of take over. Dominik Dijakovic goes for the Feast Your Eyes finisher, and Gargano counters by basically doing a backflip and then hitting the super kick. And I loved that sequence, and I just wish that it had been the finish toward the end of the match, because that's a very cool finish. And it just strikes me as something that maybe should end a match. I'm certainly no expert. I'm not an agent. I'm certainly not a wrestler. I'm a big old boy. I'm not a wrestler. But it struck me as the kind of thing I immediately said, man, I wish that had been the finish. And so, going through, and Dijakovic is so physical as a big man, and it shows, especially when he's in there with someone smaller, like Gargano, because you don't tend to see it a lot in NXT or AEW, the big man who's a big man, although Dijakovic does a lot of agile moves and big spots, which is great, but it's something different, and it really sticks out. And we, again, have a great match. As you know, I don't go move by move so that you can still experience the matches watching them through and not just hear a boring guy go over it. But I would definitely recommend, if you're going to watch one match this week from NXT, it would be this one. And we have an inside, or rather an outside to inside kind of apron jumping DDT by Gargano for the win. Again, excellent match. The right person won as they're building Gargano as a heel. And I loved it. I want to see both of these guys work their way back up. I think the time has been now for Dijakovic, and I like that they're building Gargano up. They're not putting him right in the NXT title picture, partially because Adam Cole is a heel, but partially because you want to build a character like this up, because this version of Gargano is new to NXT. And we cut to Tom Phillips, who is actually in the building. He's your kind of ringside update announcer and kind of voiceover guy for some of the cut-ins. And he is so underrated as a commentator, man. And he he could absolutely one day be the guy for WWE on the main roster. In some ways, I think he already should be. But he's going to be around for a long time, I think. And I think he's going to be really, really good. Well, he already is really, really good, but he's going to continue to be really, really good. And they cut to the Real Heroes Project, which is an initiative by them kind of honoring healthcare workers and essential personnel. And I work at a grocery store, which is an essential service, and I am by far not nearly as important as healthcare workers. It's not even close. But I definitely kind of appreciated it. I just wanted to mention that sometimes their initiatives can be, or rather leave something to be desired, but this one I'm a sucker for with my wonderful wife, and I liked it. I think it's really good that they're doing something with that. And we have Velveteen Dream doing a promo in the back on his couch that's in the back with the purple smoke machine. I love that he just has that, like it's in his rider for backstage, that he has to have the couch, he has to have the purple smoke. And he says, the minutes, the seconds, we have reached our moment. And he ends it with, it's more than a dream, it's dream over. Which is a weird thing to say when you're the dream. I understand what he was doing, but that's something Adam Cole would say, not Velveteen Dream. You wouldn't. It struck me as an odd thing to say, although I understood your dream of this being the man and being the title holder is over, but it came across like this dream is over, I'm not winning. But that's okay. We have Karrion Kross and Scarlett debuting next. And oh my goodness, Karrion Kross's entrance with Scarlett is fantastic. It implements some of those kind of cinematic elements that they're going to be doing going forward. And it's just a fantastic entrance. It's like Aleister Black's NXT entrance in that it feels so different. And it makes him feel so important before he even steps foot in that ring. I can't even describe it to you. You gotta watch it. Even if it's just on YouTube, you gotta watch it. It immediately put me in the right mood to watch Karrion Kross. Everything they've done with him so far has really made him feel menacing and important. And like he is going to be somebody important. And this entrance really put that over the top. And it's Karrion Kross versus an enhancement talent. I believe it's Leon Rush. And it's a very quick match. And there's a modified sleeper. He basically starts with a wheelbarrow, brings the guy up, grabs him by the neck, and drops down, has the guy on his side. It's a modified sleeper hold with a body scissor. I don't know what they call it, but that's what the move is. And then he gets the tap out win. Obviously, you wouldn't have the guy lose in his debut. That'd be a weird after that entrance kind of way to go. I always think about in these kind of matches, like what if Karrion Kross got hurt on the first move, which obviously nobody wants, but I always think about what if he had gotten hurt and for some reason Leon Rush had to pin him and just go home immediately. And obviously people would be understanding, but it would definitely be a very weird, very interesting in a bad way situation if you had something like that happen. Like your big debut, you have this big entrance after big promo packages, and then you get hurt on like the second move and the enhancement talent has to pin you. I always think that would be weird. And so, again, just great promo packages before this, great entrance. He's very physical in the ring. He feels like a killer. And just really good debut. This is another testament to enhancement talent. This is to get people more over in terms of specific character aspects. It's very good. I feel like when somebody goes against enhancement talent a lot, I don't think it necessarily gets the wrestler over by itself, but it can get over how dominant this person can be or show off power moves or show off physicality. They did it with Dexter Lumis a few weeks ago. That really set him up. They did it with Karrion Kross. They've done it with a lot of people. When Braun Strowman was being built up originally, he had a lot of enhancement matches, and it really sets you apart and gives you a chance to showcase things without having to have a back-and-forth match to make you look unstoppable. And I really feel like that's great. And we have another Flair Shirai promo. Flair being interviewed, she says that she's going to dominate Shirai. And boy, oh boy, I'm scared that she's right. Because, man, thus far, this working with the women's division and helping put them over, again, not by losing. She shouldn't be losing necessarily, but shining people up, that is not what's been happening. And, boy, oh boy, I heard that and my stomach sank a bit. Like, you better not. It's like I was Shirai's best friend. Like, you better not. And here we go. Io Shirai is out first. She has a great entrance theme, too. It's very kind of dark and kind of sets her apart. Shirai is one of the best in the women's division in all of WWE. She doesn't always get props for that, as she's kind of taken a backseat to a lot of other people. But she's so beyond good. And Charlotte Flair comes out next. Obviously, the champion should always come out last. A lot of times, or rather sometimes, they'll have the champion come out first, and that always annoys me, because I don't understand why you'd have the champion come out first or not have the champion come out last if it's a multi-person match. But obviously, in NXT, they always have the champion come out last. And it occurs to me that I've never liked Charlotte Flair's theme. It's like a sped up version of Ric Flair's theme. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Charlotte Flair is Ric Flair's daughter. If you want to pause it to get yourself back together, you can. I wouldn't blame you, because they don't mention it a lot. But she's Charlotte Flair's, or rather, she's Ric Flair's daughter, in case you didn't know. And they go to great lengths to remind you of that a lot. And I feel like that hurts Charlotte. Because Charlotte is absolutely, for everything I've said about her, is absolutely good enough and great enough to not have to use that as a crutch. Not for her, but for the announcers in WWE. She can be her own person. She doesn't have to be Charlotte, the daughter of Ric Flair. It's absolutely fine to mention it from time to time. It's very important. But when you continually mention it, it comes across like you feel like it's needed. But Charlotte Flair is beyond established. With the way that WWE uses her, she's going to end up, as WWE presents it, with probably the greatest women's wrestler of all time. When everything is said and done, she already has umpteen title wins and reigns, and she's been put in a high profile spot this whole time, which she should be. She's excellent. But it just always feels like they're using it as a crutch, and I just wish they wouldn't. I just wish they wouldn't. And this is an excellent match as well. There's a fun sequence where Charlotte hits her moonsault, which is a worse moonsault than Io Shirai. That's not fair, because Shirai's is great, but Charlotte's moonsault often gets criticism because more often than not, she kind of lands on her feet. She usually does it to the outside and takes people out. But Charlotte hits her moonsault, and then Shirai goes for hers, the much better moonsault, but Charlotte gets the knees up and gets a two count. And this was good. Shirai stood out, because Shirai is excellent. And Liv Morgan also had the same effect on Raw when she challenged Charlotte Flair. She really stood out as well. And Liv Morgan's going to be a huge star as well and is getting better every week. And then obviously with Mia Yim, that did not happen. And I don't know if that's Mia Yim. I don't know if that's the story they were telling, but it never felt like Mia Yim had a chance. It felt like Liv Morgan had a chance, and it felt like Io Shirai had a chance. But here we go. Charlotte Flair hits Io Shirai with a kendo stick and loses by DQ. I'm going to say that again. Charlotte Flair hits Io Shirai with a kendo stick and loses by disqualification, so the title does not change hands. This was hyped an awful lot for just a disqualification finish. And great, I get it. That's what a heel champion would do, and you don't want to pin or have Io Shirai tap out. I understand that to a degree, but man, is a disqualification finish demoralizing. And then Flair is just kind of beating on Io Shirai, and it just feels like it's not as important as it should have been. And it feels like Io Shirai should be your NXT Women's Champion right now, and she's just not. And we're going to keep going with this Charlotte Flair thing. And okay, but I wish we weren't. And then Rhea Ripley comes out. Very happy to see her back. I'm not even sure if it was so much to help Io Shirai as it was to just beat on Charlotte for a minute. And Charlotte bails out and gets to the back. And Io Shirai's yelling at Rhea Ripley because she's clearly not happy that she came out here. And then Rhea Ripley is walking out, and she's outside, and she's being interviewed. And Rhea Ripley basically says, yeah, Charlotte beat me at WrestleMania, but that's one night. And I'd like to see her try and do it again. Seemed like they were setting up maybe Rhea and Charlotte, but then Rhea's interrupted because Io Shirai sneaks up and attacks her. And they have a pull apart with, I believe it was security, pulling them apart, and I don't know if we're setting up to do Io Shirai Rhea Ripley. Kind of seems like that's what we were setting up. But then I don't know who we're going to have working with Charlotte next. Kind of feels like that thing where you don't want to change the title yet, so you don't want to do Rhea or Shirai versus Flair. So you just have them do this side quest of a feud to keep them away from the title for the moment and have a personal issue. I'm not complaining. Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, if it does happen, is going to be a fantastic match, and I'm beyond excited to watch it. That should be your NXT Women's title match, as Rhea is the champion and Io Shirai, but here we are. And then I'll be interested to see who Charlotte's next challenger is. You can make a case that it should be Rhea. You can make a case that it should be Io. You can make a case it should be somebody else. I'm not sure who that would be, if they're going to do Candice LeRae yet. Doesn't feel like it. Or who they're going to do. But we'll see. Next, Finn Balor's coming out to the podium that they have set up, that Velveteen Dream used a week or two ago, to address who attacked him and seemed like they kidnapped him. Isn't that weird story? Finn doesn't really mention that he was kidnapped. Seems okay mentally for a guy who was kidnapped. Feel like I wouldn't be. Feel like I'd be freaking out still. But Balor says, I used to think that the biggest snakes in this place worked in the office. Because he's shooting, brother. But now, I'm not so sure. He says, some guys get the push. Because he's shooting, brother. Some guys get the push, the big entrance, the big music, but then the bell rings. The bell rings and you're in the ring with the prince. And to whoever attacked me, it won't be a push. It'll be a squash. Because he's shooting, brother. So Finn doesn't seem to know who it was that attacked him and kidnapped him. So, I mean, I guess we'll find out whether it was anybody that we're looking at now or somebody coming in. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out. That should be interesting. Kind of seems like a babyface story, the way it's presented right now, unless Finn set it up, but I don't see any motivation for him to do that. But I don't know. We'll see. It's an interesting setup, and I'm definitely interested to see Finn kind of go on that reign of terror, kind of how Aleister Black came back after he was injured by a mystery person and then was just whooping everybody. So hopefully we get something like that, and Finn has a reason to be more of a jerk than he's already been. I'm here for it. Finn's another guy that I never really saw as a heel in WWE. He's done it in New Japan before, but it's really brought out another side to him, and he feels so much bigger now, and his promos are 100% better than they were when he was a babyface. So I'm very interested to see how this goes. Finn feels like he fits right in with NXT. He doesn't feel like a main roster guy that came to NXT. He feels like somebody who's an NXT guy who was gone for a while and now he's back. And then we get Cameron Grimes. Cameron Grimes is back and he's out for a match against another enhancement talent. This enhancement talent looked like if Jason Jordan had an older brother who tanned. And he had the singlet, and he looked good. He looked like he could actually do some stuff in NXT. Sometimes with enhancement talent, it's guys that you don't necessarily see coming back, but I could see this guy, and I looked up his name and I forgot it, I'm sorry. But he looked like a guy that could absolutely come back to NXT and really do something. And I'd love to see more of him. And Cameron Grimes goes for a move and is countered. He gets a belly-to-belly suplex. And as the guy is coming back in, Grimes hits that double stomp for the win. This was a nothing match, obviously. It was just a quick bang-bang match to emphasize Grimes some and get the pin. Not mad at it at all. Cameron Grimes is cutting a promo and says Cameron Grimes deserves more. And Cameron mentions Finn and says that he would slap the taste out of his mouth, and Finn comes out. No entrance music, just comes out. And I love that when they don't do entrance music, because it really feels like the person coming out is sneaking up on the person in the ring, because you don't even notice them at first. You just see it out of the corner of your eye, and then your eye cuts over. And Finn gets in the ring and say, "You said you're going to slap? Smack me, smack me." And as Grimes is talking smack, Finn attacks him, hits a couple of his signature moves, and Grimes rolls out of the ring. And Finn is now talking without a microphone, which on Busted Open Radio, Bully Ray mentioned that he'd like to see guys cutting promos without the mic, just talking right into the camera. And Finn says, "There's a snake hiding back there, but I will find him, and when I do, the best way to kill a snake to chop off its head." That felt great. That felt good. That was really good. I don't know if that was just Finn going for it. I don't know. But that was really good. I got nervous, like I was the guy that kidnapped him. And you guys, I know you're gonna be surprised, but it wasn't me. I'm so sick of everybody hitting me up, like, "Oh my god, it's you that kidnapped him, and you're gonna be doing all this." For the last time, it wasn't me. But again, we will see. On Twitter, Cameron Grimes afterwards said that if he hadn't just had a grueling match, I would have slapped a taste out of his mouth. That's just great heel work by Cameron Grimes. I love the chicken bleep heel. And Twitter really gives you a great chance to do that. It's so great. And we have a promo video for Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream. Again, main event for the NXT title. And this feels weird with everything going on with Dream. And I've intentionally not gone into the situation with the Dream because everything is kind of unproven right now, and I tend to want to wait for the final verdict, so to speak, before just putting things out there. You can obviously Google it yourself, but it's one of those situations where if it is true, Dream is going to be gone forever from WWE. So hopefully that is not true. But it's one of those situations where you would think, not in a judgmental way, but you would just think that if WWE hears about this, they wouldn't have Dream in the spot that he's in. They would want to wait it out. But they're going ahead with this match. And so it definitely makes you think that Dream is not winning the title. You don't want to have this come out to be true and then that person is your champion. I'm not sure that it's a lot better that he's your number one contender, but here we are. But I definitely understand WWE's position on this, where you definitely want to wait and see. It feels like if this had happened outside of that, that he may have been the guy to take the title from Adam Cole. It's felt like that for a while, but when he came back, even when there were crowds, it didn't feel like the momentum was there, which is weird for a return. And I think that has something to do with the story that they were telling and the way that they were telling it, but I don't know, it just didn't have that oomph for this feud that I thought it would. It's odd, and I can't put my finger on why. But this is a very good promo video. It's a back and forth of them talking about each other. And now it's time for your main event. The Dream is out first, as he should be. His entrance is very cool. You don't need me to tell you that. It's very different and weird, and Prince mixed with Gold Dust mixed with Val Venus. And that's a combo that if you had told me that combo or I had seen it on paper, I wouldn't have thought it would work, but seeing it, it works so well. And I've said this before, but I I hope on the main roster they don't take him as Gold Dust and take him less seriously, because I can absolutely see them doing that. Because if he is still around and everything comes out to be not true, which again is the most important thing, that we find that out first and act accordingly when everything is said and done. But if he does come out of this and he's on the main roster, you have a star in Dream, and I feel like his character's going to have to be adjusted a bit for the main roster. But he absolutely has the talent, and he's very, very young, and he's already so good. And entrance-wise, it's the same thing with Adam Cole. And I love that all of the Undisputed Era has their own kind of unique entrance, because they use the same theme and same Titantron visuals with all the Undisputed Era members, but they all have their own unique poses that they do, whether they're coming out as a team all together or individually, and all of their individual moves fit with everybody else's moves. And they all time it. I think Adam Cole's is the best, but they all time it to the boom in the Undisputed Era entrance theme. And every time I see Adam Cole do the pointing at himself with the thumb at the boom, I always think that if I were in the Undisputed Era, which I was off, oh my god, guys, I was offered so many times, and I kept having to say, Vince, Triple H, for the last time, Hunter, I don't want to do it. I'm going to take away from all the other people in Undisputed Era, and then you're going to have a problem on your hands. So frankly, you guys are welcome that I didn't do it, which I was definitely offered, but I didn't do it because I care about them in the business and not upstaging people. So again, I hear you. I hear you. You're welcome. But I always think that if I were in the Undisputed Era, I would 100% mess up the timing of that boom and do my move either before the boom and then look stupid, or do it after and look stupid. It's underrated that they are able to match that every time. I've never seen them mess it up. And this is great. This match is good. Dream seems desperate to win, he's going for covers, at least early on, after just about each big move. And that's perfect. That's what you want in a championship match with somebody that has never won the NXT title and is desperate to win it. You should be desperate to win a big championship like that. Not every character is going to necessarily be desperate to win the title, but I feel like it was a very good story early on where Dream was just trying to get that three count and get it out of the way, because you know the Undisputed Era is probably going to butt in. You want to get this over as quickly as possible. I really like that. Kind of a small thing, but it's a big thing as well. They're both kind of down on the mat, and Cole is walking over on his knees and says, "Dream, you're a nobody." And he says, "You're a nobody," one more time, and Dream slaps him. Love that. And then they start punching back and forth. They did a really cool spot where Dream hits Adam Cole and then goes to the top rope, and he jumps off the top rope and Adam Cole super kicks him on the way down. And Dream kind of bounces off the ropes or just kind of falls back a bit, and Cole falls down from being hit before, and then Dream falls, but he falls face first with his head kind of on Cole's chest for a two count. I love that sequence where Adam Cole is still selling what happened to him. He had a momentary rush of adrenaline, but then fell out, and then Dream just got lucky and fell into a cover. Kind of reminded me of Shawn Michaels hitting Sweet Chin Music and then falling on his opponent because he had nothing left. I love that. And again, it only gets a two count, but it really kind of builds up suspense. And as you already knew was going to happen, here comes Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. And the ref is knocked down, and the Dream gets a visual pin where the person is pinning the person, and it clearly would have been a three count, but there's no ref to count it. Usually means the person doing the pin is going to lose, but especially with a live crowd, that always does it. The crowd counts for the wrestler. It's great. And as Undisputed Era is coming out and running down to the ring, Dexter Lumis is just there. You see Dexter Lumis attacking Fish and Strong. And I just love that Dexter Lumis is always around. You know when he's going to interfere. You don't know whose side he's going to be on. But what you do know is he's going to be there because he's a crazy person. And with the distraction, Adam Cole's able to hit the last shot on the Dream. Gets the 1-2-3 as the ref is finally back. And he retains the NXT title. And unfortunately, with everything going on, you knew that was going to happen. But it was still a very good match. Not a takeover kind of, I guess, quality match, but still very good. And I feel like if it were actually a takeover and actually in front of a live crowd, it would have been a lot different. But Adam Cole is still your longest reigning NXT champion of all time. He beat Finn Balor's record some time ago. And I feel like that's important. I'm a guy that thinks that championships are very important, and it means that the company has put their faith in you. It means that you are the top guy or top woman in the company or on the brand that you are on. And a lot of people think of the title as just a prop, and to a degree that is true, but to me, it always feels like a big deal when somebody is or wins the championship. I mean, Christian won the World Heavyweight title and lost it, what, on the next show to Randy Orton? And while that's disappointing that he didn't have a longer run or hadn't won the title before that or anything like that, but Christian is still a World Heavyweight Champion, and that, more than anything, means a lot to me. At the risk of sounding like I take this too seriously, I do. The championships are very important, and it's important for people's legacies, and it's important for the business to constantly have new challengers, and it's a big deal when a company thinks that you are ready for a championship or big enough for a championship where everything's right for it. And so it's a big deal that Adam Cole won, and it's a big deal that Adam Cole is your longest reigning NXT champion. I mean, first it was Finn Balor, and now it's Adam Cole. He's in good company, and I feel like that record's going to stand for a long time. And they do a replay, and like I said, Dexter Lumis comes from under the ring as Undisputed Era are coming down, and he attacks them. And I just love that Dexter Lumis, before the show, as a character, got under the ring and was just hanging out, just listening to the show, waiting for a moment to just beat somebody up. And it just so happened that Undisputed Era was coming down, and Dexter Lumis thought, this is my moment. I love that Dexter Lumis is this, like, psycho, crazy person who appears to be a babyface, but who knows, and is just hanging out at shows, whether it's Raw or NXT, waiting for his opportunity to just fight some dudes. That's a great character thing for Dexter Lumis. And I'm very excited to see what he does next. Seems like he's going to maybe be mixing it up with the Undisputed Era guys. That's big. That means you're toward the main event. I don't know if he's going to be the next challenger for the NXT title. Doesn't feel like it, but maybe. But I'm excited to see where Dexter Lumis goes. It's going to be great. Whatever he does, I just hope he keeps hanging out, just waiting to fight dudes. It's so great. And we go off the air with the Undisputed Era celebrating. And Adam Cole moves on. And ladies and gentlemen, that means that this has been your May 6th NXT podcast. Again, thank you so much if you've listened this far, for dealing with me for about an hour or so today. I can't thank you enough again for allowing me to come into your homes through your devices. This has been beyond fun. I'm still feeling everything out and trying to come into my own as a host here, and hopefully for many more episodes to come. If you can, make sure you're subscribed. If you can hit us with a review on iTunes, that helps a ton as well. And any feedback you have for me, questions, comments, concerns, Zach, you're stupid, I didn't like this, or Zach, you're great, can't believe they wanted you to be Undisputed Era, because they did. You can hit me up on Twitter, ZachNXT, ZachNXT. Almost every day I have a conversation going with one of my followers and friends, or people on this network here. Mary and I often go back and forth because we're both sassy. We like to be sarcastic. Matt and I have gone back and forth a few times. But it's a lot of fun. So if you want to join in the conversation or anything you want to see on the show, any questions you have that you want to have on the show, I'm going to be answering questions as they come in on the show here. So if you want to be a part of that conversation, again, ZachNXT, I'd be more than happy to hear from you. And I've been more than happy, more than overjoyed, and more than grateful that you allowed me to talk to you for about an hour again here today. So I've been Zachary Smith. You've been great. Thank you, and have a great one.